participated in the choir over Youth Week at Black Creek Baptist Church. I have retired without a party. I want to throw that out there. Without gifts. I retired. Brother Zach Vernon will be taking up the choir. And so tomorrow morning about, I don't know, 9:43 or so, if you all can roll in there, they're going to sing. Brother Zach, I was looking at the hymnal there. 303 is a good one for the choir. I don't know if you know that or not, but look in this hymnal, found a copy of that. It'd be good for us. But just wanted to throw that out there. So tomorrow morning, before Brother Harvey preaches, it'd be good to just start singing and get our hearts and minds ready for what the Lord has for us. And heard a good report from Black Creek Baptist Church today. I want to thank the Lord for that. I believe we had a good Sunday here. And I believe the Lord helped us this morning. We're grateful for that. And so it's what the Lord has for us tonight. In this place, and let me just say this, I wouldn't want to be the person that is the naysayer, the person that's going to murmur, the person that's going to complain, the person, the bitterness in my heart that might be a grief to God. I wouldn't want to be that person with jealousy in my heart that's going to be a grief to God in the service, could hinder the work of God. Certainly don't want to be the one to, in any way, shape, or form, to grieve the working of God in this place, this night, or this week. And so I do pray if you have aught in your heart with a brother, you get that right. And I pray that if you do have a bitter envy in your heart, you get that right. If you have a disagreement with your parents, I pray you get that right. Husbands, wives, if there's a disagreement with you, I pray you get that settled before this week, that God can have His way in our hearts and in our lives. And you say, how important am I? Well, you're just important enough that you need to get it right. And can I say, it's not just fall on the preachers, it falls on each and every one of us to have our hearts in tune with God and be prepared what the Lord has for us in the services this week. So I do pray that you would be prepared. I pray that you would spend time with the Lord each morning and spend time with Him. At 7 o'clock in the morning for to 8 o'clock, we always open the church up. We'll start tomorrow morning. If you are able to come, would like to come for just a time of personal prayer, that we open the church up for that. And so I pray that you take advantage of that as well. And Brother Cassiola, thank you for letting us come. We normally end up here the Sunday after Youth Week, but Brother Donnie Harvey is going to be preaching at the Manassas Community Baptist Church next Sunday on July 4th. And I told Pastor Black, I said I would very much prefer to not miss that. And so Brother Cassiola graciously invited us to come today. And Lord willing, next Sunday we'll be at Manassas with Brother Harvey's preaching. Try to support the meetings there. And this is the summer of preaching. And the Lord is just putting some things together and putting some people together. And of course, we had Brother Williams down in North Carolina a couple of weeks ago. Some of you were there for that. Some of you there bodily. Some of you there spiritually. Some of you both. Amen. And we're thankful. Some were never there spiritually. And then, of course, Brother Morey was at our home church. Many of you were there for a couple of weeks ago. Brother Dale Morey was there teaching, preaching, Vacation Bible School. And you say, well, that's just Vacation Bible School. Well, you don't understand the Vacation Bible School in Blaine, Pennsylvania. It's not just Vacation Bible School. And the Lord used that. Now we're coming together again for Youth Week. And Brother Williams will be again here for Youth Week this week. And Lord willing, he'll be in tomorrow. And our paths have all crossed again. And the Lord's put us together. And then, of course, we'll be on down to Shippensburg, Pennsylvania. Many of you will be able to attend those services, Lord willing. And then Brother R.G. Rose is coming later in the summer. And he'll be at the Manassas Community Baptist Church. And the Lord has just put us week after week after week after week with an opportunity to hear the preaching of the Word of God. I myself want to take advantage of every opportunity that I have to put myself under the preaching. The week before Manassas in August, we'll be with Brother Rose at the Katanning Campground, and we'll be there for the Altman Baptist Church Family Camp. And again, I want to be there for the preaching, and I want to put my family under the preaching of the Word of God. And so I certainly hope that we will glean what we need from these services. I don't want it to be a waste of time or a waste of effort. But can I say, you'll get out of these services what you want to get out of it. And God is faithful to minister to our needs and faithful to tell us what we need. We have to be faithful to receive what He has for us. And we need to be faithful to the things of God in these days. So let's enjoy the summer of preaching. Let's get plugged into the summer of preaching. Let's let God minister to our hearts All summer, we have opportunity to be around the preaching of the Word of God. And I want to thank the Lord for that. Listen, it doesn't have, I'm not tooting my own horn. I don't have to listen to me preach. That doesn't bother me. Listen, I get tired of hearing myself preach. I mean, I don't mind sitting and listening to somebody else preach. If I have to preach this week, it's because the Lord has made me preach this week. I promise you that. And I'd much rather hear some of you men preach and hear some of the men of God that are coming in to preach. I'd much rather listen to the message that God has from them. I'd much rather tonight, I'd rather have Ronnie Skolton get up here again, amen, than me have to stand up here. You want to come up here, Brother Ronnie? Okay, he's still bitter about North Carolina, amen. I put him on the spot. He's going to come up here, Brother Ronnie. He looked like he swallowed a mouse, amen. And he's still a little bit bitter about that, but we'll survive, Lord willing. Get that bitterness out, Brother Ronnie. God will give us a good week, amen. Take your Bibles, if you would. Let's go start in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll look at these quickly and just try to get, and again, you know, some of you, I realize that there's a couple of you in here have heard me preach before. If you've heard me preach once, you've heard everything I know. And usually if you hear me twice, I just change the titles. Now, there's a lot of you here. Some of you I go to church with. Some of you I've known for years. So I have to come up with new titles for all of my messages. And so this one, I came up with a really nice title for this. I'm going to preach on the Bible, okay? Amen. And so that'll be a help to you. Some of you probably go, I've never heard him preach that before. Well, this will be the first time. But Paul, in verse 1 of chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and I want you to notice this, by the will of God. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. You can turn, you can sit and stare, it's okay. Either way, Ephesians 1 and 1, very similar statement is made in Ephesians 1 and 1. And he said this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. We're going to see a pattern begin to form here because in Colossians, the first verse, he tells us the same thing. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Let me just put on hold a second. There's a crowd today that is skeptical of knowing the will of God. And I believe a lot of times with that crowd, the reason they're skeptical of knowing the will of God is because they don't know the will of God. Amen and amen. Paul said, I was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. He goes on again in the first and 2 Timothy 1:1. He says, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians just quickly. And I want you to notice this. And again, a slightly different statement is made, but it's applicable to what we're dealing with tonight. And he says in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Now, what's changed? He's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, but he was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. God is going to use Paul to be his apostle of Jesus Christ. And he's called him, and can I say it on this wise, through the perfect will of God, for there is none other will of God. Amen. Proving what is that good? Help me out, grammar students. And acceptable. It's building, it's not detracting. And perfect will of God. One will of God. It's a good will of God. It's the acceptable will of God. And might I add, it is the perfect will of God. And you submit yourself unto the will of God by presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And you find yourself in the will of God and living by the will of God. And God can even call you through the will of God. The calling of Paul, 1 Timothy chapter 1. And again, you're welcome to sit and listen. I will call the references. You're welcome to turn there as well. I'm not going to go slow. I'm not going to go quick. I'm just going to try to be sensitive to what I need to do. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and here it is, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. So now he puts everything kind of full circle. He's by the will of God. He's been called through the will of God. Then he's called by the commandment of God. What else could Paul do with his life? What choice does Paul have when God has commanded him to go? We talked this morning about Jonah. We talked a little bit about Jonah coming to himself. And Jonah realizing that he has not only failed God, he's disobeyed God. And Jonah telling the Lord, I will set mine eyes again toward that holy city. I'll turn mine eyes again toward you. I'll turn mine eyes one more time and get my feet in the right direction, Lord, if you'll deliver me from this place. And again, disobedient, ignoring the will of God, rejecting the will of God. He's cast overboard, and of course a great fish, the Bible also calls a whale, swallows him up. But in that place, in the place of crying out, in the place of suffering, the place of affliction, he says, I will turn again. I'll go where the Lord wants me to go, responding again to the call of God. So Paul is called by the Lord. Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. Again, the calling on the Apostle Paul's life. Acts 9 and 6. And he trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The response of the Apostle Paul to Jesus Christ. What wilt thou have me to do? Isaiah said it on this wise, here am I, Lord, send me. What wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord instructs him in verse 6, it says, arise and go into the city. And now, future tense, in days to come, not at this moment, in days to come, it shall be told thee what thou must do. Can I say it on this wise? God, knowing the heart of Paul, God seeing the heart of Paul, knows when Paul said, what wilt thou have me to do? There's no hypocrisy, there's no deceit. There's no lying in that. He's saying that out of his heart to the Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Can I say most of us, it's lip service. Very rare today do you find somebody from the heart, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, I would love to be in your will as long as I'm comfortable. I would love to be in your will as long as I'm satisfied. Lord, I'll serve you as long as financially you take care of my need. Paul, called of God, responds to God, and the Lord said, there will be a time, Paul, just go to the city, and it'll be told thee what thou must do. Can I say it on this wise? It's not might do, it's not can do what thou must do. The choice is out of Paul's hands. Why? He's a servant of Jesus Christ. And when he said he was a servant of Jesus Christ, he wasn't just self-identifying. He wasn't just boasting of self. He certainly wasn't carnal in saying that. He was saying it by the Holy Ghost. The servant of Jesus Christ. Can I say to you, I'd be far-pressed to stand before you tonight and call myself a servant in light of Paul's servitude. I'd be far pressed to stand and say, Tim McVeigh, a servant after the manner of the Apostle Paul. Because when you see Paul's servitude, can I say, it is the biblical example of what a servant ought to be. Here am I, Lord, send me. What must thou have me to do? There is a day when the Lord calls, when the Lord speaks, when the Lord puts his finger on our lives, and we must respond to the call of God. Acts 28, let's go back there if you would. It'll bounce around just a little bit. Bear with me. I'm going to start in verse 17 of Acts 28. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said to them, "Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. Not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you. Here's the call. Here's the apostleship. Here's the obedience. Here's the constraint. Because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain." He's bound in the will of God. He's bound by his calling through the will of God. He is bound for the hope of Israel, can I say this, by the will of God. When he submitted himself to Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, when he asked the Lord what he'd have him to do, he didn't see what would be. He could not see around the corner of what was to come. But in Acts 9 and 16, the Lord told him, "Put Paul aside, for tonight I must show him how great things he must suffer." Can I add this? By the will of God. He's going to suffer by the will of God. Great things he must suffer. He goes on then, the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 25. 1 Corinthians 1 and 25. "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men." Men can say, "Well, he persecuted the church. He was injurious. He did great damage to the people of God. He was looking to imprison those that worshiped God. Who is this man that God should call him? Who is this man that God should put his hand upon his life?" Foolishness of God is wiser than men. Can I say, with all respect and all humility of my heart, there's men in this room that have responded to the call of God and said that God has called them to preach that I wouldn't have called. Amen. But can I say this? You're looking at a preacher. When I did surrender to preach over 20 years ago, everybody thought it was a joke. I mean, everybody thought, "There's no way this guy is going to preach." The day I was called to preach, surrendered to preach, my own pastor stood up in a group of people with me present, said, "There's just been a lot of emotion tonight, and a lot of things have, you know, taken place. Let's just let it all settle down and see how it turns out." Well, it's been 20 years. It's turned out okay so far. Hey, man, we'll see how the next 20 goes. But to make it 20 more years, I might start calling myself a preacher. Might. To God be all the glory. Amen. You see, God doesn't call in man's wisdom. God doesn't speak in man's wisdom. And he said in verse 25 again, "The weakness of God is stronger than men." Can I say to you, there's men in this room that you would consider yourselves strong physically. In fact, Brother Cassiola made a plea with some of you. Need some strong men from Black Creek to come help move some things in the church, you will not see me raise my hand. I'm over that in life. You will not see my hand go up. Yes, for the Cassio, I feel as though I am strong enough to help you. Why, I'm past that point in my life. I no longer claim to be strong. I keep my mouth shut in wisdom. Physically, there are men in this room much stronger than I. But there's only one man that can whoop me. I'm not going to say who that is. Amen. Well, I'm not going to fight these young guys. Are you kidding me? Just never mind. Some of you, I lost you on that one. I'm not going to fight a man younger than me, smarter than me. Are you kidding? That'd be dumb of me. He's not talking about that strength. The weakness of God is stronger than man. You see, God calls in His wisdom, and God can put His power on the weakest minded men, the weakest physical men. He can put His power on emotionally weak man. And His weakness is stronger than the mightiest man on this earth. Because He's God. Knowing Him is more important than all the accolades of strength, of intelligence. What we consider power in a man, God laughs at. What we consider strength, God is not pleased with the legs of a man. There's twofold there, but I won't get into the shorts right now. The strength of a man is his legs. The strength of a man, the core of a man is strength. God's not pleased with that. God doesn't need your physical strength. God doesn't need your spiritual strength. God doesn't need your emotional strength. God needs you to submit yourself under the mighty hand of God so that He can show Himself mighty. Verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise." Hey, some of you preachers that were real fools, go ahead and stand up. You preachers, I knew you were fools. I'll stand with you. He uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Thank you. They said, that man's a fool. But boy, what he's saying, the words of his lips, the words of his speech, certainly aren't foolish. I knew that boy when he was a fool. I knew that man when he was thick as a day old pudding. But God touched him. God put His hand on him. God called him. And he's living in the will of God, by the calling of God, through the will of God. But I ask this. Where are those men today? See, God chose the base things of the world. He didn't choose a man because of his intellect. He doesn't choose a man because of his intelligence or his IQ. He doesn't choose a man because of his education. He doesn't choose a man, sorry, young man, he doesn't choose a man on his looks. And that confounds the mind of the wise. He chooses the base things of the world. He chose Paul. And it wasn't in Paul's strength, and it certainly was not in Paul's might. It wasn't even in Paul's wisdom. is that Paul was a servant of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And the Lord told him what things he would suffer by the will of God. The Apostle Paul, I imagine, never imagined in his wildest dreams the journey, singular, that God would send him on. And somebody would say, well, Brother McVeigh, don't you know Paul went on many journeys? No, can I say to you, Paul was on a journey. Amen. And his journey went many directions. And his journey crossed many paths. And his journey touched many lives. His journey was the hope of Israel. And as he journeyed, he preached. And as he went, he preached. Brought glory to Jesus Christ with his life. Brought glory to Christ with his much suffering. By the will of God. If you would, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Just hit these real quick. 1 Peter chapter 3. Start verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience. That whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed to falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. I tell my wife often, I've said it from the pulpit many times, it doesn't hurt me when people lie about me. It hurts when they tell the truth.
Amen.
They say, Tim McVeigh is a dirtbag. And then they tell something I did. And I'm going, well, I did it. It hurts. So he said, if you're going to suffer, don't suffer as an evildoer. They're going to speak against you. If it be the will of God, be so. You let them speak falsely against you. You let them lie on you. If you're going to suffer, you suffer for good. Not for evil. There's a man I know that just recently was arrested for street preaching. He told me later on, he said, I shouldn't have been out there with the people I was with. He said, they're name callers. He said, we got arrested for disobeying the law. He said, well, they were calling people names on the streets. And he told me some of the names, and I wouldn't repeat them in private conversation. And I read this verse to him, and I said, well, they're evildoers. People are speaking evil against them, and they're absolutely right with what they're speaking. Why? Because the Apostle Paul told us to do it with meekness and fear. You give that answer to man with meekness and with fear. And there's no meekness in name calling. There's no meekness in cursing somebody on the street. There's no meekness in arguing with people because you get your little feelings hurt. Just want to say all that. If you're going to suffer, then you suffer for doing well. You suffer for doing right. You suffer for living for God. You suffer for obeying God. If you're going to suffer, you suffer in the will of God. That would include doing good unto all men, especially those who are in the household of faith. There's a lot of people suffering today of their own foolishness. They're suffering today because of their own iniquity. And then they're martyrs in their own eyes because of their own iniquity. Can I say, somewhere they've missed the will of God. You want to say all that tonight?
They already took up an offering. So let's go ahead and talk about that a little bit more.
1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 2. Verse 1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God.
You want to suffer? You want to suffer to the will of God?
Are you willing to suffer for his sake as Christ suffered for us in the flesh? Are you willing to suffer in the flesh? The third suffering is today.
And I know because we suffer. Air conditioner's not working.
Ice cream machine's broke at McDonald's. We're suffering, aren't we? Those are the complaints you hear from people. The cable's out.
Bought a cheap TV at Walmart. It didn't last a year. We're suffering. Anybody really suffering?
Anybody really suffering in the flesh? He said if we'll suffer in the flesh, there's a chance if we'll willing to die to self and suffer in that flesh, to cease from sin, no longer live after the lusts of the flesh. We might just find ourselves in the will of God. You see, most of them won't even put themselves under self-induced suffering called fasting.
You doing okay? Most today won't push the fork away
and suffer a little bit in the flesh and deny themselves. That Christ can teach them how to put down this mortal body. Because we live in a generation that all we do is feed our bellies. That's all we do. Me, me, me.
Can I say the things we consider great affliction, our forefathers would have mocked us
for what we call suffering. They would have called it daily life.
The average prayer request time at church, well, it's too late now, but the average prayer request time at church, to be honest, sounds like a whiny, gossipy, pity party session that it does. People that have real needs, you can just say amen whether you agree or not.
I don't know many people with real needs. All I hear is hangnails and puppy dogs and sniveling and whining and complaining and not real needs.
Just shows you how many people are out of the will of God.
So living according to the flesh, living according to their wants, living according to their desires, and then calling to God.
The me generation, and they say this is godliness. The generation to feed our bellies, and they say this is godliness.
I'm not going without, so certainly it must be God in my life.
But the people I do know that suffer, you don't hear them complaining. There are people in this room that suffer.
And you wouldn't know it.
You find someone that's carnal, fleshly, whiny, doesn't have enough God about them to scratch the surface of the water. They're not suffering. They just want a pity party.
Won't you get with God? Won't you spend time with God to find out what you're made of? Once you get down to the bottom of self and find out what you're really made of on the inside.
Dig down deep in your soul of your heart and get down to the bottom of it and see if God's even in there.
I know people that suffer.
And there's people in this room that are suffering tonight. They're overshadowed by a generation out of the will of God that wants everybody to feel sorry for, wants everybody to pay attention to them,
wants everybody to just pat them on the back for every little whiny, little persnickety thing they have a problem with.
God bless you that suffer. I'm not going to point out people tonight. Let me just tell you, this is a suffering in widowhood beyond comprehension.
And I don't understand it. And I pray to God of heaven I never do understand it. I don't want to understand it. I don't need to understand it. But can I say, those of you that have lost a spouse to death,
there's a suffering the rest of us cannot understand. We will not understand. But there's a fellowship that ought to be between you and God in that suffering. And a closeness to the Lord in that suffering.
And drawing nigh unto God in that suffering. And find yourself, even without your spouse, in the will of God. And drawing close to God.
And find your purpose in the church. And find your purpose with God. And find out what God has for you. Because even in your darkest hour, in your darkest day, in your darkest suffering, you can live in the will of God.
As long as you're a whiny, spoiled brat, you can't. And you won't.
It may just be that we'll have to suffer.
Verse 18, 1 Peter 4. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God. There is a suffering that's according to the will of God. And if you're suffering according to the will of God, this is a hope for you. Commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator.
He's able to keep you. Though you may suffer,
He'll keep you in His hand. No man can pluck you from His hand. We'll see how we stack up. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. The Cassiola told me to take all the time I need. And I'm just kind of freelancing up here.
We'll just see where we go. Let's just see how we stack up in the will of God. Can we do that?
1 Corinthians chapter 11. We start about verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? And then he said this, I speak as a fool. I am more. Why? In laborers more abundant. If any of you have more labor than Paul, just check. In stripes, above measure. When I was a boy, my mom and dad often would tell us how many stripes we were going to get. The joy of that is when you get to five or six, you know you're getting near the end.
When you start getting close, sometimes you let dad know. That's five!
Daddy, that's six. Mommy, that's it. You know, Paul said, I couldn't even count them. I lost track how many times I've borne stripes. In prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. And then the Apostle Paul goes into his personal account of the Jews five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Now he's speaking for himself. Back toward a ribbons, welted, scarred, bloody. Can I say probably weeks without sleep? Why? They've beaten him open. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. And by the way, you look up that word in the deep, you'll figure out where he was, if you want to know. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. What do you hold in highest esteem?
The daily care of the churches.
When he's recovering from stripes, naked in prison, beaten, starving, thirsting, you know what fell upon the Apostle Paul? The care of all the churches. Why? Because that was the call of God upon his life.
When he's starving, thieves are periling him and seeking him out, and he's in travelings and journeyings, and he can't find rest, and he can't find food.
When he lays his head finally on a stone in the forest, in the wilderness, the care of all the churches lays heavy upon him. Why? It's his apostleship.
God called him. God showed him what great things he must suffer.
And God took and showed him those great things. He counted him faithful, putting him in the ministry. Galatians 1:4. We start in verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father. Galatians 1:3. And from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Why was it so important for Paul to be in the will of God? That you and I might be saved from this evil world by the will of God. Why did Paul have to suffer?
That you and I could be delivered from this evil world by the will of God.
How do I know I'm in the will of God? Have you been delivered from this evil world?
No.
If not, you're not. Because he's not willing that any should perish. It's the will of God for every sinner. to be converted.
He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's inclusionary, not exclusionary. He's including a sinner in all.
Not just any sinner. He's included you. Salvation is the will of God for every sinner. Whosoever cometh to him, he will in no wise.
Why? It's not his will to cast you out. It's his will that you come to him. And he'll take you in.
He's not this angry, bitter God in heaven that's looking to destroy and looking to kill and looking to maim.
No, he's a merciful God in heaven that is angry with the wicked every day. But he was angry enough at the wicked to send his only begotten son to die for the same wicked, to die for the sins of the whole world, and then extend to them an offer of whosoever will, that they might know the will of God to deliver them from this evil world. But many will not come.
Most will not come. But to John chapter 1, I'll go through these quickly. John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them to believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. How do we receive him? Because it's his will that we receive him.
How do you know you're in the will of God? Because you've received him. You have this Christ. You have that witness in your heart. The witness of God is greater. And the witness of God reveals Christ in us.
By the will of God.
I hear God getting blamed for him not saving sinners. But that's an impossibility when it's his will that all sinners be saved.
Amen.
It's in the will of man why sinners are not converted.
Right.
Not in the will of God. So the call has been made to mankind, come unto me, all you that are weary and are heavy laden.
I will give you rest. The call has gone out. The word of God has been extended. The will of God has been offered to whosoever will. God has put his hand on men through the ages to preach, to suffer, to labor in the will of God. That you and I don't have to go to hell. You and I don't have to die in our sins.
Yet, people hate preaching. They hate preachers. They hate the word of God. They hate the ministry and the work of God. They're rebels. They're stubborn. Can I say this? Before you get on your high horse about that, that's why Jesus Christ came to this world, to save sinners.
He came to this world to save rebels. He came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost.
And he's still seeking. And he's still saving according to the will of God. I'm just going to read this from 2 Peter 3 and 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. And I want you to notice this. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
It's not his will that any perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Yet men would indict God with a filthy, wretched finger and indict him with not caring. Indict him with withholding himself.
Indict him with withstanding man. But can I say, no, God has offered to man salvation. He has offered this marvelous gift. It's man that resists God.
Amen.
But he's not willing that you perish. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 4. Who will, and there's the word, who will, that's God's will, that's God willing, that's by the will of God, through the will of God, in the will of God, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. How did Paul get in? Because God was willing to save. He got in on all men. How did I get saved? I got in on all men. How does God save sinners? By all men. We'll have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And here's the Catholic killer. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And then the next verse is the Calvin killer, who gave himself a ransom for all. That's with foreknowledge. That's with the foreknowledge of God. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles and faith and verity. And then we see Paul's will, and Paul's will lines up with God's will. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Paul said, my will is lined up with God's will, because he's not willing that they perish. He is willing that men would be saved. And I will that men would lift up holy hands everywhere without wrath and doubt. In the will of God. Why would we indict God with being unjust? Why would we indict God with lying? Why do we indict God of deceiving us? When he said, whosoever will may come. If he's not willing that you perish, why would you perish? And I'll tell you the answer, because you won't come on whosoever will. It's not in God's will, it's in your will. Because whosoever will may, they will or they won't, may come. Are we doing all right? There's a lot of commotion. It's to be expected. The devils of hell are going to fight this meeting. Some of you got that spirit of slumber, had it early, still got it. Can't shake it off. Don't really want to hear what's being said. Some of you just downright tired. I understand those things. You're tired now. You better get rest. It's going to be a long week if you're tired now. But I'm speaking to those paying attention. I'm speaking to those listening. I'm speaking to those with tears in their eyes. He's not willing that you perish. Titus 2 and 11, I'm almost done. There's no hope in that. I'm just almost done. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. 1 Timothy 1:15. While I'm here, just stay in a couple of these verses. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul said this, of whom I am chief. Who did he come to save? The righteous? No. He came to save sinners. What's his will? Save sinners. Who's a sinner? We're all in need of salvation. A Again, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. It's his calling. It's his drawing. It's his salvation. And it's his will. Any point of failure along those lines is not God. It's man. Apostle Paul is an apostle by the will of God. Why? Because on the Damascus Road, God came with a holy calling and called him. Paul got in just like you and I did. And I know some people choke on that, so dispensationalists will run way too far with it. When Paul said, Lord, who art thou, Lord? What does he signify? I'm done. It's him. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Can I ad lib just a minute? Yeah, I know. I knew it was you. Well, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, isn't it, Paul? Saul. Yeah, it's pretty hard.
I've been running from you. I've been hiding from you. I've been ignoring you. I've been fighting you. But what would thou have me to do?
The lightning didn't flash. The thunder didn't roll. Nobody ran the aisles. And Paul entered into a new phase of his life. The will of God. Amen. You know how he got in? The will of God. You know how I got in? It's the will of God. You know how you're going to get in? Because it's the will of God. I'm going to do something out of sorts, even for me. This isn't a show of the flesh. Don't you be a fool. We'll answer to God for it.
How many of you have found the will of God since last youth week? Would you stand?
I want you all to know, sir. Is it different walking in the will of God? Is it different living in the will of God? Is it different knowing that God, by his will, has saved you and called you with an holy calling, and now your will is submitted to his will? Is it a different life?
There's no telling what God can do this week. If he can break your will, you can be seated. Thank you.
I've not seen some of you since you got saved, but I've rejoiced with you. Hey, I've rejoiced with you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I remember old Brother Zach Vernon. I mean, he was laid up in this nasty, roach-infested room. Well, it wasn't that bad, but it was close, in West Virginia. And I was on one bed texting a pretty girl. Zach's on the other bed texting another girl. Amen. That's right. I was going to say it. She knows anyway. I say, Zach, can you show me a picture? I go, ah! I say, Zach, that girl's ugly. Why God put her in our lives? It's his will. It's right there.
his will, she not perish. Hey. You want God with the skulls? Sorry, Dave, I'll call it a skull. No offense. You can't pronounce French words. God with the skulls and a life, she not will. Amen. God put Kyle in our lives. Now willing.
You know why God puts you in our lives? Because he's not willing any should perish. But that all should come to repentance. You know what God did for me? Put a preacher in my life. I really thought he hated me. I really thought he didn't like me. All he did was talk bad about me every time he preached. And I found out he didn't even know me that well. I really thought he didn't like me. Then I found out something else. He wasn't willing. Saved a little 24 years. Preaching a little over 20 years. Still trying to figure out how to preach, but I'm getting there. Now God started to put people in my life. Because he's not willing that any should perish. You know, God put this goofy headed niece to mine in my life. God gave my daddy, granddaddy, uncle, a whole bunch of the preachers preaching down the line. Amen. That's right. Amen. God had a blessing of family with children, their uncles were preaching down by their children. That's what he does his uncle. Hallelujah. Well, boys, in the living room the other day, I was on the phone with Brother David Burton. He makes me about half mad anyway. I didn't realize I was doing. Look over to Nathaniel. Nathaniel's still there. He's going, lie, shaking his fist. I just said, preach on, son. Hallelujah. Preach on. Hey, it doesn't matter what you say. You just got to shake your fist like you say. My God puts you in our lives. He's not willing to perish. Believe it. You know why God puts you in my life? I don't know. It goes back to that thing about suffering and the will of God. But he's not willing that Peter Cornelius perish. You know why God brought us together this week? He's not willing that any should perish. This could be the last youth week. This could be the last day on earth. And that's not scare tactics, that's reality. We're looking for the imminent return of Jesus Christ in the air. You know why God brought you here? He's not willing that you perish. Is there anybody here tonight? You're not here because of the will of God. Would you admit that? Say, you know, I'm here, I don't even know why I'm here. Let's just say, I believe God puts you. He's not willing that he should perish. Paul said he saved him as a sinner and he was the chief of sinners. Now, like Brother Tony said many, many years ago, whether you like him or hate him, I don't care. He said, God can save the chief. He can save the squaws and the little Indians too. He said, that's not politically correct. It's going to get worse before the week's over. He can save the worst. Say the vilest sinner. He can say the most self-righteous. You're perfect. That's right.